Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. At least it's a little warm. It's not cold outside, right? We would like to take time right now to pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts and minds for worship and the lighting of the candles. We would like for you to please remember to sign the attendance books that have already been passed out. And I'd like to know if there are any general announcements. Jerry would like me to make one right after the service if some of the men could help set up some tables over in the gym. Okay, Miss Sherry. Okay, 6 o'clock this evening. Are there any other general announcements? Are there any first-time visitors? Have you been here before? Okay. Okay.
Deborah.
Yes.
Right here.
Oh.
There you go.
I tell you what, let me get them first and then I'll introduce you. Hi, Patrick. Okay, and then the man that is going to bring our message this morning, Reverend Buddy Pope, first-time visitor with us. Oh, and his wife. What's her name?
Buddy.
Dawn. Welcome, Dawn. Are there any more general announcements? If not, now we'll move on to our prayer and praise requests. As many of you know, sympathy is extended to Julie Beaumar on the loss of her father this week.
Deborah, yes. Miss Pauline Kimball fell last week and broke her arm. She is in
pain.
Pain, yes, very much pain. Had surgery on Tuesday, and she's doing well, but she just needs some prayer. Maybe somebody call her and talk to her. She likes to talk on the phone. So.
Charlie. Elizabeth. Are there any other prayer or praise?
Yes.
Oh, Melanie.
There's nerve damage in my fingers and toes.
Teresa. Ooh, been there, done that. It's not fun. Sharon? Okay, Sharon? Are there any others? Joyce? Okay.
Deborah, back here.
Hi, Deborah. My oldest son, who lives in Fort Worth, gave me a call last night. He's 47, or he will be 47 in May, and he has been coughing up blood for about 3 or 4 days. He goes tomorrow to the doctor to see what it is. So, you know, prayers for Mark. Thank you.
Are there any others? If not, if we will all please stand for our prayer and adoration.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, as we gather together this morning to worship a true and living God, you have heard the prayers of your children as they have shared them. There are many needs within the family of this church and with other churches. And there are many things to be thankful for. I thank you for this church and for its session, for its leaders that have diligently served you and are serving you and will continue. Please guide them in their processes. And Lord, today as we enter this time of Thanksgiving and next Sunday we start into Advent, may we always remember we're only what we are because of who you are. You are God and you take care of us. You don't give us everything we want, but you give us what we need. So today we just ask you to guide this service. Be with each one as whatever capacity that they do in this service, may it be to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. And as you taught your disciples, may we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's turn down our hymnals to hymn 585, I believe it is. 585. I think everyone will recognize the tune as we go along if you've watched any movies lately.
Drive.
Be glad and rejoice.
We rejoice in God's gifts.
Sing praises of joy.
Our mouths are filled with laughter.
With gratitude we come.
God has done great things for us.
Shout with laughter in sunshine and rain.
Praise God for our lives, for the harvest and the food.
You may be seated. To confession this morning. O giver of life, we thank you for the many ways you care for us, blessing us with abundance. For sunshine and showers, we give you thanks. For food and drink, we give you praise. For clothing and shelter, we bestow our gratitude. As we gather to give you thanks this day, gather our worries and our burdens. Shelter us from fear and despair. Help us rest in your arms, assured that your loving care is enough. A prayer of confession in unison, if you would like to follow along. God of abundance and love, fill us with your joy even when we remember times of sin and sorrow. Sprinkle the tears that we have someone. We may reap a harvest of joy. Forgive our fears and our worries. Instill trust within us that we may truly rest in your arms and have faith in your gracious care. Comfort us when we worry over things for which we have no control. Turn our dreams to you, O Lord. Remind us of the abundance you offer as we proclaim today forever. Amen. Our words of assurance. Indeed, God has done great things for us. Through Christ, God's love and grace are restored in our lives, and we are made whole yet again.
Turn again in your hymnals to hymn 66. We'll sing the first verse only.
This morning is from Psalm 50:14. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and make good your vows to the Most High. If the ushers will please come forward. It's time, children's time with Miss Mary Jo.
Thank you.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from Luke, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, to the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Deborah. And thank you to the church for allowing me to come and be with you today. And just to put your mind at ease, I can only imagine what this church has been through for the last several months. And every Sunday you come to church and here's a different person, you say, "Oh Lord, not that one." But I'm on vacation from my church, and I had a vacation Sunday come in. I wanted to use it up so that when I go into the year of 2011, I'm asking for two more Sundays off, and I didn't want to have a Sunday left that I hadn't taken off, because I knew somebody, well, he didn't take his vacation. So I'm taking a Sunday vacation. I'm filling in because they didn't have anyone else to do it. If they had, they wouldn't have asked me. So don't sit out there and get all excited and think, "Now this guy, you're okay. If you can tolerate me one Sunday, you're in business." But I am thankful to be here. One reason I'm here, I'm the appointed moderator for the Jenkins session. And being the appointed moderator, I did want to come because there are people that go to the Commonwealth Presbyterian Church that might not realize that we are a connectional church. And I've known Sam Sutter since a long time. And Sam and I have been around one another, worked together, still work together. And I'm kind of coming full circle, because in 1986, I was examined to be ordained in what you all did worship in. I guess now is the fellowship hall back in there. And that's where I was questioned to become ordained for the ministry. So I've kind of come full circle, and I'm really thankful to get to be with you today. And I'm thankful for our church. And when I say that, I've been on the Board of Missions in different presbyteries for a number of years, and I'm served in a lot of capacities. But on the Board of Missions, you deal with churches that's looking for pastors, and sometimes it even entails pastors looking for churches. But I look at this congregation, and I can't understand why any pastor that wants to serve the church can't come here and really have a lot of work to do. You all have all ages, and so many of our churches are dwindling away. And one of the reasons that people dwindle away is tradition. So much is steeped in tradition, and everything is in tradition is not bad. But it's kind of like when I went down to my mom and dad's house, and I told my mom I was going to, I said, I believe the Lord has called me into the ministry. And that was in 1982. And she said, well, I don't question that, but I don't believe you can wear those cowboy boots and preach. I said, well, now, Mama, the Lord didn't impress upon me to change the way I dress. And I said, I'm going to give it a try. She said, I just don't think people will put up with you wearing cowboy boots. So anyway, Mama was wrong, but that's about the only time Mama was ever wrong. But some people think that to be successful in life, you've got to do certain things. But as the scripture reading was read, and I'm not accustomed to having my work done for me, but I appreciate it. And everything helps because everybody gets to contribute and to make a contribution to the service. That's what it's about. But some people think that success is built upon what someone else has done. But everybody is important to God. These youngsters that come to the front of the church are the church of tomorrow. And it's our responsibility to allow them a place to serve. Jesus always took time for youngsters and outcasts and people like Buddy Pope. Somebody that, of course, now my dad was a CP preacher and was for a number of years and had a good life. But just because my dad was, when I entered the full-time ministry in 87, the first thing I did was to relocate to another state. Because I always told Daddy, I said, it just won't look good for the church for you and I to fight on the floor of Presbytery. That just won't look good. So I went my way. He stayed here. We never attended Presbytery together after I was ordained. When I came back to Columbia Presbytery, Daddy had already moved to another area, and we never had to have a disagreement on the floor of Presbytery. That's pretty good for a father and his son. But it wasn't that my dad and I fought all the time, but he stood for what he believed in, and I stand for what I believe in, and we both believe in God. But so many people, they're worried about the other person. Now, always remember, where there's life, there's growth. Where there's growth, there's problems. Where there's problems, there's solutions. And where there's a God-given solution, there's greater growth. This church, as I think about this church, and what you all have been through for the last several months in searching for a pastor, and I really applaud this pulpit committee. I've worked with the session and have been to some of your meetings, and I support them 100%, and I support this search committee. I can only imagine the tremendous amount of pressure that this search committee has had to endure, because I can just imagine people saying, why don't you get us a preacher? Why don't you get us a preacher? Well, folks, if you get a preacher, you're probably going to only listen to him once a week, unless you all start having services every night. But if you'll get a pastor, somebody that loves the people, Dr. Rustenhaven, some of you may know Dr. Bill Rustenhaven, but he told us in the first class that I sat under him at Bethel College at summer school, he said, if you don't love people, go home. Churches very rarely will fire a pastor, but they'll fire a preacher. So all of my ministry, I've done my best to try to be a decent pastor. I care for my people. So this church is going to have to launch out into the deep. You already have to a degree, but you still got places to go. At some point in time, you all are going to call a new pastor. And you're going to launch out into the deep. And you're going to take on new ministries. And you're going to do new works. And all of these seats are going to be filled. I'm really thankful today. I was anticipating
I told my wife coming down here this morning, I said, probably if we're real fortunate, there might be 50 people there today. I said, I can't imagine. That you all, you have a great future. You're going to do great. You've got to keep on keeping on. So how do we launch out into the deep? How did I launch out into the deep? First of all, we got to visualize our need. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. You've got to visualize the need for ministry. You've got to visualize the need for church. You've got to vision it within your own heart. These disciples, they'd fished all night, but they hadn't caught anything. And that's showing you and I. When we try to do the work of the church on our abilities, we're going down. We won't make it. I was working as a standards engineer when I entered the ministry, and I told the lady, she's passed away now. I went to her funeral, and she happened to have been Mr. Jameson's personal secretary. And when I told her that I was going to go, and I said, I think the Lord has called me into the full-time ministry. And she was real encouraging. And she said, buddy, I don't think you'll ever make it. And I said, you know, you may be right. I'm not going to argue. I was bivocational. I said, I'm not going to argue about it. I'm just going to make myself available. And I said, you know, if it's God's will for me to be in the full-time ministry, He'll open the door. And it wasn't, but about a year later, I guess, I got a call to a church in Missouri. And I went in and I told her, and I said, I'm going into the full-time ministry. She said, I knew you could do it. You see the difference? The difference it makes is when you really believe in your heart, you can do it. These disciples, they couldn't do it on their own. But when Jesus said to launch out into the deep, Simon says, well, because you say it, we'll do it. Patience pays off. Patience pays off. As I look back at my life and the things that God has done for me, and I entered the ministry in 1982, but in 1980 we were on the way to a horse show in Montgomery, Alabama, and I was showing Appaloosa horses for another family, and we pulled up at, we always ate at a McDonald's or something like that, but this one time we stopped off the interstate in front of a little Baptist church, and I sat there on the fender of that horse trailer eating a can of Beanie Weenies and looking at those horses, and I look at that church and I thought, you know, I'm not doing what God wants me to do. So I came back, and 2 years later, I finally entered the ministry. And the rest is history. But in Acts 9:6, Paul was going down to persecute the church. But what did he do? He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? So he, trembling and astonished, he fell down. He lost his eyesight for a few days, but he visualized his need to follow Christ. Remember, a faith that fizzles before the finish had a flaw from the first. And our faith in God doesn't fail. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The lady told me, I knew you could do it. I knew you could do it. A year later, I don't think. You see, people change, but God doesn't change. How does Jesus get us to where He wants us to go? Sometimes He uses people. Sometimes He uses places. Sometimes He just works on our conscience. But in this situation, He says, watch out into the deep. Now, I like to fish, but I don't go fishing much. But my granddaddy was a good fisherman, and he would take me fishing as a youngster. And we would walk up down the creek, and he would point me and say, "Now fish right here." And he put me there by a rock sticking out of water, and I'd raise the line up 2 or 3 times. The fish wouldn't bite, and I'd move to another spot. And then my granddaddy, he'd come right along to the same spot. Why can you catch fish and I can't catch fish? He said, you don't have any patience. You've got to have patience. So be patient and wait for God. So Second thing we must do, not only must we visualize, we've got to improvise. Jesus improvised. Now that means to resort to available resources. And Jesus saw a boat that he could use as a pulpit to speak to people. A lot of people there wanting to see him. And he saw a person that he could use in the work of the church. And he sees the same thing with us. Now we may look weak and unable and not able to do it to the other person, but to God. God knows. And God is much more interested in availability than ability. If we'll make ourselves available, God will do the work. You all have a great example of a person that made themselves available to become moderator of our General Assembly. And Sam was he's a retired truck driver. I think I'm right, aren't I, Sam? And I'll just go ahead and confess to Sam what I said. I was just as bad as the lady said to me when I was told he was going to be endorsed for moderator, and I knew one of the people, other people's going to be endorsed, and I said, think the world of Sam, but he don't have a chance. Well, you see how smart I am. Sam's a moderator, and the other fellow didn't even get enough votes to be the vice moderator. So that shows you what Buddy knows. Don't listen to Buddy. But God needed Sam to be moderator for a reason. It's to go out and share the good news with other churches in our church. So he used a person that didn't think they could do it. He uses people like me and he uses people like you. And the third thing, if we're going to launch out into the deep, is we got to visualize, we got to improvise, and we have to rationalize. We got to be reasonable with it. This church can't direct God of who to send nor when to send them. All the time that you all have spent waiting for a pastor is in God's time. It's in God's time. I'm here today because I'm a fellow that's on vacation, and when you enjoy your work, you don't have to work. As long as you enjoy your work, you don't ever have to work. And I was going to church anyway, somewhere, and it wouldn't be right to go back to the church where I pastor. That's not fair to them. They tolerate me every week. So, you know, I thought, well, surely to goodness, those people, they'll give me one chance. And after this week, you say, boy, man, I'm a preacher appreciator. You'll appreciate the next one it comes by. And that's okay. That's a good thing. My goal in life, there's a song, I don't know exactly the title of it, but It's a song that has those words, if I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living has not been in vain. If I can help somebody. If I can cause one person to make a commitment to Christ, I haven't failed. I was working a camp one time and we repelled. And of course, now you take an old fella that's rode a mule out of the Grand Canyon on his 65th birthday. There's just not a lot he won't do. And this little girl, she was scared to death. And so anyway, I told her, if you'll do it, I'll do it. She said, well, if you'll do it, I'll do it. So I did it. I enjoyed it, and I went back and did it again. And anyway, she repelled, and you know, she left camp the happiest little girl I guess I've ever seen. And somebody asked her, said, how did you lose your being afraid? She said, Mr. Pope said if I do it, he'd do it. He said if Mr. Pope can do it, I can do it. So if you can help somebody. And Jesus, as soon as he finished speaking, went to win one person, Simon Peter. Peter. So we must visualize, improvise, rationalize, and patronize. I'm thankful to see those that are here today. Hebrews 10:25 says, "And not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So why should we work so hard to help the church move forward? Because somebody out there needs to make a commitment to Christ that may never come to this church. They may never see inside this church, but they may see you. And you can make the difference through the love of Christ. And if you do those four things, visualize, improvise, rationalize, patronize, the fifth one is automatic. You advertise. That's automatic. You love what you support. You support what you love. If you'll look in the yearbook, this church, you all have a lot to be thankful for and to be proud of. This church in the Columbia Presbytery gives more to our United Outreach to help other churches than any church in the Presbytery. That's sure not saying a lot for folks like me. I appreciate you. You're thinking of other people. Church is not, it's not getting in here and shutting the doors to make sure nobody else gets in. Church is inviting others. You advertise. You advertise. Last week, I was called to do a funeral for a person that I think I may have seen him one time. Evidently I did, but they called me. I had no idea who they were talking about. And two old bachelor brothers lived together somewhere on a big farm between here and Delina, somewhere over in there. And anyway, this elderly gentleman had come to a funeral that I had conducted somewhere, and he said to his brother, "When I die, I want that man to preach my funeral." Well, I go to do a funeral. That's not easy when you don't know somebody. Sometimes it's not easy when you do know somebody, but it sure wasn't easy when you don't know somebody. But I go and they had the video going, and they had a bunch of pictures of mules. And this brother told me, said his brothers had a mule 38 or 36 year old, and the old mule died a few months ago, and the man said he lost his will to live. Said he didn't, said that was it. He's went down ever since. And anyway, he said, "And you have a mule?" And I do. And he said, that makes the connection. Now, to some people, that looks foolish. But to that old gentleman that loved his mule, somebody that has the same interest, all of a sudden, you have a connection. You advertise. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So, today, I would just challenge the church to let your light shine, to continue to launch out into the deep, and to do the work that God has called you to do. I believe our hymn of invitation this morning is number 573. Thank you. bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and in the life everlasting. Amen.